Leviticus chapter 26. Now these are the blessings for obedience and the curses for disobedience. You shall make for yourselves no idols, neither shall you raise up an engraved image or pillar, neither shall you place any figured stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am Yahweh your God. So they should not bow down to anything apart from God. You remember Haman refusing to bow down to Mordecai. He took this absolutely... Mordecai refusing to bow down to Haman. He took this absolutely literally. You shall keep my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am Yahweh. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you your rains in their season, and the land shall yield its increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall reach to the vintage, and the vintage will reach to the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and no one will make you afraid. And I will remove evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. You will chase your enemies, and they will fall before you by the sword. So if they'd been obedient, they would have had bumper harvests, really unusually huge harvests. It would have been somehow like the kingdom of God on earth. It would have been a kind of return to the Garden of Eden, where everything was wonderful, etc. And they were to keep the garden as Adam and Eve were to keep the garden. But just as Adam and Eve failed by having the snake dominate them, so Israel failed. And so just as Adam and Eve were sent out east of the Garden of Eden, so they were sent out eastwards into exile. So then, as you can see, they could have had the blessings for obedience. And God really had these blessings prepared to give them. And they never really experienced them as God intended. But I think that even when they were a little bit obedient, he gave them all these blessings. He was so eager to bless them. You shall chase your enemies, and they will fall before you by the sword. Five of you will chase 100. 100 of you will chase 10,000. Your enemies will fall before you by the sword. I will have respect for you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and will establish my covenant with you. You shall eat old store, long kept, and you shall move out the old because of the new. I will set my tent among you, and my soul will not abhor you. I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you will be my people. Well, this is language that's used at the end of the Bible in the book of Revelation about how things will be finally when Jesus comes back, that God himself will walk among us and we will be his people and he will be our God. So I think that what they could have had, if they'd been obedient, was something like the kingdom of God. That's what they could have had. But they weren't. So they missed so much potential. But if you will not listen to me and will not do all these commandments, and if you will reject my laws, but break my covenant, I also will do this to you. I will appoint terror over you, fever that will consume the eyes and make the soul to pine away, and you will sow your seed in vain, for your enemies will eat it. Well, that is what happened a bit at the time of the judges. They sowed their seed like in the time of Gideon. And then the Midianites came and stole their harvest from them. That's why Gideon was threshing wheat in secret, so the Midianites wouldn't come and take it. And yet, did they actually have all these plagues, physical plagues, fever, blindness, etc.? That's not recorded. I get the impression that they were not punished, as Ezra says, they were not punished as their iniquities deserved. I will set my face against you. You will be struck down before your enemies. Those who hate you will rule over you. And you will flee when nobody pursues you. If you, in spite of these things, will not listen to me, then I will chastise you 7 times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your sky like iron and your soil like brass. Well, you see, the real problem with Israel's disobedience was pride. This is always the problem. And what God wants above everything else is humility. So I will break the pride of your power, and your strength will be spent in vain. for your land won't yield its increase, neither will the trees of the land yield their fruit. It's the worst kind of life to live when your strength is spent in vain, when you work hard and you've got no enjoyment, no lasting benefit from it. And that is, in fact, how people are who don't have God in their life. If you walk contrary to me and won't listen to me, then I will bring 7 times more plagues on you according to your sins. I'll send wild animals among you, which will rob you of your children, destroy your livestock, and make you few in number, and your roads will become desolate. Well, I can't recall that really happening, that wild animals literally were sent by God to desolate the land. I suppose you could say that wild beasts in the sense of the nations around them were sent. But it says that these wild animals would destroy your livestock and kill your children and that. Well, yeah, I think, as I say, a lot of these judgments that God said were going to happen actually didn't, because he so loved them. Even though they absolutely were disobedient and did break the covenant. As he says, I get the feeling he punished them less than he said he would. So never think that God is a hard man, that God is somehow hard and judgmental. He's not. He's full of love and grace. If by these things you won't be returned to me, but will walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you, and I will strike you, even I, 7 times for your sins. I will bring a sword upon you that will execute the vengeance of the covenant, and you will be gathered together within your cities, and I will send the plague among you, and you'll be delivered into the hand of the enemy. When I break your staff of bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in 1 oven, and they will deliver your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. If you, in spite of this, won't listen to me, but walk contrary to me, then I will walk contrary to you in wrath, and I will chastise you 7 times for your sins. You will eat the flesh of your sons, and you will eat the flesh of your daughters. I will destroy your high places, cut down your incense altars, cast your dead bodies upon the bodies of your idols, and my soul will hate you. Well, God can get like that. That God can hate people. My soul, God says, will hate you. You see, God's got so much love for us that if we're not faithful to him and we just push off with the idols, we push off with this world, he does have a degree of anger. He does have great jealousy and anger about it. You can't just paint God as being sort of some kind old granddad who gives nice presents or whatever. He is very kind and he is very gracious, but you cannot take away this other side. And it's part of love to respect someone, and we are to respect that if we love God. I will lay your cities waste and will bring your sanctuaries to desolation, and I will not take delight in the sweet fragrance of your offerings. I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies that dwell there will be astonished. I will scatter you among the nations, and I will draw out the sword after you, and your land will be a desolation, and your cities a waste. Well, of course, this is what's happened at different times in Israel's history, and you think of the Holocaust here in Europe, where the Jews were persecuted in all the nations of mainland Europe, and the sword did, as it were, chase them. The land will enjoy its Sabbaths as long as it lies desolate, and you are in your enemy's land. Even then the land will rest and enjoy its Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, it shall have rest, even the rest which it didn't have in your Sabbaths when you lived on it. Remember, the land was supposed to rest every 7th year, and they were to have 2 years rest every 49th year for the Jubilee. As for those of you who are left, I will send faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a driven leaf will put them to flight, and they shall flee as one flees from the sword, and they will fall when no one pursues. They will stumble over one another, as it were before the sword, when no one pursues, and you will have no power to stand before your enemies. So God would work on their minds to make them very broken down and paranoid and fearful. You will perish among the nations, and the land of your enemies will eat you up. Those of you who are left will pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands, and also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. If they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers in their trespass which they trespassed against me, and recognize that they have walked contrary to me, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac and Abraham. I will remember the land. So if they repented, not only for their sins, but the sins of their fathers, that is, they stopped justifying their fathers. This is a trouble. Everybody thinks their father is good, and my family is a good family, and don't talk bad about my family. This is the whole thing, when God says, no, you are serious sinners. You're all, in that sense, serious sinners, bad people before me, and your families are all bad. That is, of course, not what people want to hear. Now, of course, that's only one aspect of God's dealing with us, but that is an aspect of it. And it's not until you accept that and repent in humility that you will find relationship with God. The land also will be left by them and will enjoy its Sabbaths while it lies desolate without them, and they will accept the punishment of their iniquity. That's very important, to accept the punishment for sin. Now, the wages of sin is death. And we have to accept that so death passed upon all men. By one man, Adam, Paul says, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we have to accept the punishment for our sin. And that's what most people can't do. They've got this idea that I've got a right to be alive. Well, they don't have any rights at all. They certainly don't have a right to be alive. We only deserve to die. And the proud people who are on about, oh, well, I've got the right to this, I've got the right to that. These people are really like spoilt kids. That's what they are. They're spoilt kids who think they have a right to this. They must be allowed to do this and that and the other, and that they are so wonderful. Well, that's not God's view of them at all, but this is where God's view of people is not popular. So when Israel accept the punishment of their iniquity, and that they have rejected my laws, and that their soul hated my laws, well, that imagine going up to a Jewish person today and say, you've hated God's law. Oh, what do you mean, mate? No, you know, that's anti-Semitic. You hurt me. You hurt my feelings. Yeah, well, this is what they've got to do, I'm afraid. Yet for all that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not reject them, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them, for I am Yahweh. But I will for their sake remember the covenant of their fathers, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt, that I might be their God.